Everyone.
Really good to see you all. It seems like it has been a while. I'm really enjoying the service already. May the Lord bless the rest of it. I need your prayers tonight. I want to be in the center of God's will, doing only what he wants me to do. By the power of his spirit to do it. And I think that that's how each one of us ought to be in our lives. This message that I have tonight is one that is preached to me. First and foremost. And I believe that it's applicable to every one of us. Every morning when we wake up, we have decisions to make whether or not we will serve God or serve ourselves. And I don't think we often realize just how often those decisions are made throughout our day. And so I'd like to start in Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to begin in verse 20. It says, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. I want to bring our attention to this verse real fast, and that Jesus prepared his disciples often about what was to come. He began to show his disciples what he was about to face at Jerusalem. Not only that he was going to suffer, but that he was going to be killed and raised again. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Jesus tells Peter, after he rebukes the Lord and says, Lord, it's not going to happen like that. There's no way we're going to allow them to arrest you and persecute you and inflict suffering upon you and to eventually kill you. No way. That's not going to happen. We're not going to allow it. In fact, you can look at Peter in the garden and that he was willing and ready to uphold what he had said and that he struck with the sword. But Jesus immediately rebukes him. And says, get behind me, Satan. you're an offense unto me, and reveals something about what was taking place in Peter's heart. I love Peter. He was a good brother. Loved Jesus. And I'm not angry at him at all. We're saying, Lord, this shall not happen. I think that we each one should have a love for Jesus, that we wouldn't want to hurt him in any way or want anyone else to hurt him. But think about what Peter was saying. It shall not happen. It shall not be done like that. And if he had gotten his wish, not a one of us would be saved today. Him included. If he had gotten what his heart yearned for and the protection of Jesus Christ, that he'd not suffer, that he'd not die. If he had got his will, we'd all been doomed to hell. You're an offense unto me. Or more so, that word out of your mouth is an offense to me. I mean, think about yourself. If you were ever in a situation of sore temptation or a heavy burden, and you're having a difficulty finding out what the Lord would have you to do or how to proceed, and someone comes along with this kind of advice, it makes it that much harder. Jesus knew that he had to go and suffer and die. He knew what he had to face. Do you think Peter's cry out to him made it easier to do so? It's an offense to him. In other words, you're hurting me. You're making it more difficult. Get behind me, Satan. Or what's behind that act of crying out and saying, no, this shall not happen. This shall not be done. But it was our salvation. Peter's voice was a voice against the deliverance of our souls. Did he know that? No, he didn't know that. He didn't realize what he was saying and the implications behind it and what was going to be the effect of it. He only knew what he wanted, and that was the preservation of Jesus, to be in his presence. But you know that God's plan was much better than that, much bigger than that, much more valuable. That Peter gets to be with him forever. And you and I have that opportunity as well. In verse 26, it says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'd like to start by looking at this verse from the perspective of what will you receive in exchange for your soul? In Peter's case, the life of Jesus would have been the cost for his soul. If he had gotten what he wanted, he'd have lost his soul. What will we receive in exchange for our soul? Let's go to Genesis chapter 25. Starting in verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him. and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You know, we might look at this and think that, what's the big deal? But when we look in Hebrews, let's go ahead and look in Hebrews real fast. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. It refers to him as a profane person. And then it tells you why. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. What was Esau's birthright? God told Abraham, I'm going to give you the land, and I'm going to bless your seed after you, and your seed is going to be as the sand of the sea in multitude. This is going to be your land. Look out there, Abraham. As far as your eye can see, this is going to be yours. I think there was more to it in his inheritance than even that, and that it says that Abraham looked for a city whose foundation and builder was gone. That was his inheritance. The promises of God, what God had promised to Abraham and to Isaac, and then what could have been to Esau, but instead was unto Jacob, he sold it for a bowl of lentils. Because in his mind and in his heart, he thought, what good is my birthright? For one, he didn't value the promises of God. He didn't value the vision that God had given unto Abraham and to his son Isaac. He didn't grab a hold of that and have a vision of it. Instead, he despised it and was willing to reject it for a bowl of lentils. Did he know when he took that bowl of lentils, the implications behind it, or what would be the consequences of that? Do you think that he knew that it was going to be at the cost of his soul? That later years, and even recorded in the scriptures, that he would be determined as being a profane person because of that act? No, he was just hungry. He was savoring not those things that be of God, but those things that be of men. If you were looking at it from the perspective of a carnal perspective, of an earthly perspective, or of a temporal perspective, you would think, yeah, I guess Esau is kind of right. You know, what good is this land and the inheritance of it if I die of hunger today? But there was a bigger picture involved. The picture of God and his plans and his purposes and his promises that he lost out on because he chose to sell it for a bowl of beans, essentially, or I guess that's what lentils are. So Esau was saving his life, but it cost him his soul. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. We're looking at what a person might take or receive in exchange for their souls. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold the possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. You know, I look at this and I can't help but to believe that this act was at the cost of Ananias' soul. The way he went out there shows us that it was at the cost of his soul. I don't know how much money it was. I don't know. Said he only kept back part of it. But it cost him his soul. I think about it, and if I had offered Ananias the amount prior to this event and said, Ananias, I'll give you $100,000 for your soul, what do you think he would have said? If I offered you $100,000 for your soul, just like that, I'll give you $100,000 for your soul. I don't think anyone in their right mind that knows anything about God and has a faith, or at least a belief that there is a God, would take that offer. But the reality is that people sell their soul all the time for much less than that. And this man most likely did the same. But it wasn't presented to him like that. I don't believe he had any idea, really. I mean, I trust that the Spirit of God was putting conviction on his heart, telling him, don't do this. Don't do it. And yet he followed through. But I don't think he knew that it was at the cost of his soul. We do things all the time that could be at the price of our soul. We've heard some things tonight that, if continued unchecked, could be at the cost of your soul. And if I told you, you can do this thing right here, but it's going to cost you your soul, I think a lot of people's ears would perk up a minute, like, wait a second, my soul, eternal soul. But we don't think that way, or many don't, that it's going to be at the cost of your soul. I think of the person that sees $5 laying on the counter and nobody's watching, and he goes and he grabs that $5 because nobody's going to see him. Nobody's going to know anything about it but God. And for $5, he's putting his soul in jeopardy for eternity. What is our soul worth to us? What are we willing to receive in exchange for our soul? What about this? What are you willing to give in exchange for your soul? You know, I obviously that nothing you do or I do can purchase our soul. Okay, so you can't just decide that I'm going to start going to church and I'm going to start being nice to people and I'm going to read my Bible every day and I'm going to pray every day. If you don't ever get saved, that won't never save your soul. So when I say, what are you willing to give in exchange for your soul? I'm not trying to say that you can purchase your soul by the acts that you do. Jesus Christ paid it. That's how your soul gets purchased. But I will tell you that there's opportunities all the time in our lives for us to give something in exchange for our soul, or to be willing to give up something in exchange for our soul, or for the preservation of our souls. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, which Esau did not. He did not have respect to the recompense of the reward, or what the reward would be. Moses did. And because he had a vision of what God was going to give his people, or what God was promising his people, or what there was to be had by associating with the people of God, Moses chose to refuse to be Pharaoh's son, a son in the palace of Egypt. I assume great wealth, great authority, great power, great esteem. People probably bowed down to him and honored him, respected him. And he chose rather to associate himself with the slaves. I would say that he gave all that up for his soul. He chose rather to suffer the loss of all that, Pharaoh's palace, and to be the son of Pharaoh, for his soul. That he might be numbered among God's people. What are we willing to give up for our soul? Genesis 39. Genesis 39 and 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within, and she caught him. This was Potiphar's wife, by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Thank the Lord. He got him out. It was at the cost of his soul. And he fled. He ran. He got out of there. Was it without a cost? Was it without a price? No. He went to prison. I believe I recall a scripture where he says his hands were in the fetters. He was bound up for that. He suffered some hardship because of that. But it was for his soul. I don't know how to emphasize it any more than we have things that take place in our lives that could cost us our soul if we're not willing to give them up. What are you willing to give for the sake of your soul? Are you willing to give up something that maybe is lawful, but it's going to be a hindrance to you? It's going to be harmful to you. It may put your soul in jeopardy. It may put you into situations or circumstances that could be strong temptation, that could make hardships for you that maybe you won't be able to endure. But yet it's lawful. I could do it. But is it expedient? Will it help you? Or will it hinder you? I think about in the garden where God says, you can eat of any tree you want. You can eat of any tree. But I'm telling you, don't eat of this one. They had the power. They had the ability. They could eat it if they wanted to. And they did. But God told them, don't. Because it was going to harm them. He said, it will kill you, or you will die. You shall surely die if you eat of it. What are we willing to give up for our soul? We can choose. We can make choices. We can do what we want. But it doesn't mean that it will be expedient. Peter could have had what he wanted, but it would have cost us all our soul. It would have cost him his soul. Are you willing to give up worldly honors for your soul? The opportunity to be praised of others. I think of Ananias and how he presents his gift of, oh yeah, I sold all that land and here's all the money. See, everybody, look at me giving all this. I'm giving it all, everybody. Look at me. But it wasn't really all of it. But he made a fair show of it. Are we willing to give up worldly honors for our soul? Are we willing to give up riches or the possibility of it? For our souls. If we had great opportunities in our lives to pursue that would be maybe a great success, and God says, I think you ought not to do that. You can if you want to, but I think you ought not. What will you give in exchange for your soul? Are you willing to give it up? That opportunity, that potential success, if you will, from a worldly standpoint, for the sake of your soul? Even if it isn't so much that you're going to lose your soul if you do it, but rather maybe you're going to struggle and you're going to squirm and you're going to fight and you're going to be tempted from all sides and you're going to have a horrible time of it. But go ahead. Or would we rather choose the way of God, the will of God, the plan of God? Even though we can do our own thing and we can make decisions for ourselves. I think of children. I'll do it myself. Yeah, you can do it yourself, but you're about to land on your head. I've seen it too many times. You're going to land on your head. I'll do it myself. Don't help me. Don't tell me. Don't. I'm going to do it. And I believe that we can get that way with God, and that I can do this, I can do that, I can make this decision, I can make that decision, and I don't see anything wrong with this, I don't see anything wrong with that, I'll do what I want to do. Yeah, you can do what you want to do. Well, what if it's at the cost of your soul? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for it to be at the cost of your soul? Is it worth it to you? Are you willing to jeopardize your soul to be right? I'm right about this. They're wrong. And you hold on to that thing. Are you willing for it to take your soul? Are you willing for it to take your peace, your joy? Will you give it up? What will you give for your soul? What's the most valuable thing to you? Is it your life or is it your soul? Do you want to live 150 years on this earth or do you want to go to heaven? Peter, I mean, he wanted to save Jesus, and I don't blame him for that. I would want to save Jesus too. A man that loves everybody, is healing everybody's sweetest man you ever know, and they're going to mistreat him and beat him up and kill him? No way. I don't blame him for thinking that way. But what good is 150 years on the earth with Jesus when you can have eternity with him? There was a bigger plan in effect. Will you give your soul for the right to be angry? They were wrong. They ought not have treated me that way. The way they treated me, the way they did that thing, they shouldn't have done it. And the truth is, no, they should not have. And you, by all rights, you have a right to be angry. But will you hold on to that anger for your soul? Will you let it be the cost of your soul? You have a right. You do. You have a right to be angry. They should not have done it. But it's costing your soul. It's eating you up inside. It's taking away from you. Would you give it up for your soul? What will you give for your soul? Will you give the right to be a judge up? Well, I think this is right. I think that is wrong. Are you willing to give that up for your soul? And remember that it's not about what you think and it's not about what I think, but it's about what God thinks and what he knows. Peter thought he was making a good judgment, a righteous judgment, but it was wrong. God wanted to save our souls. What is the devil offering you for your soul? And are you willing to take it? You know, we were talking about it the other day. And there is nothing the devil can offer you when you're dead to yourself. You think about it. He offers you a chance to be proud. But if you're dead to yourself, you don't care nothing about being proud. He can offer you riches and fame. But if you're dead to yourself, that doesn't really taste very good to you. That doesn't, it's not appealing to you. And so I think about it. Jesus went to the cross to die. That was his mission. That was what he was meant to do. And what I find interesting is Peter's preservation of Jesus and Jesus telling us, what will you give in exchange for your soul? And sandwiched right in between that, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The denial of ourselves and the willingness to put ourselves on a cross. That is the cost of our soul. That is the price of our soul. And that is what God is saying we ought to give in exchange for our soul. That's what Jesus gave. And we ought to do the same. Can we give up self for the sake of our soul? And like I said, there's opportunities all the time that the devil can use to tempt us and to try us and to put that carrot out in front of us. But that carrot has no power, no authority when we're dead to ourselves. I want to do what God wants me to do. I don't want to have my will. And I say that, and believe me, every morning I got to say, I don't want my will. I don't want my will. I don't want my will. And the reality is, with spiritual vision and spiritual thought and knowledge, I do not want my will. Peter did not need his will. And if I'm visualizing his situation, I say, not my will, Lord, because I'm liable to do exactly like Peter and make judgments and thoughts and ideas and conjure up all kinds of plans and everything, and it'd be completely wrong. I don't want my will, Lord. Help me to sit at your feet and wait for you to tell me your plans and your purposes and what your will is, that I can just follow you and do whatever you say, because I know in the will of God, I have victory in my life. I have success in my life. He is my savior and deliverer. My life was a mess without Jesus. But with Jesus, he just blesses my life. Now, do I have hardships and struggles? Absolutely, every one of us does. If I got Jesus with me, though. And I just want to follow him. And I got to put stuff before him all the time. Lord, not my way, not my will. It doesn't matter what I want or what I think, because I'll get in my thoughts and think, well, I think this would be a good idea, or I think this would be good. How about this, you know? No. I just want to sit before the Lord and wait on him to tell me what is right and what his will is. And I want to have a heart every day, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. I'm your servant. I'm just clay in your hands. Help me to maintain that spiritual vision. We're going towards heaven and eternity. We're not caught up in our vision of this life and this 100 or 120, if you want, years that we have here. I'm not going to focus all my attention on it. I want to be attentive on you and on your purposes and plans. Help me, Lord, to get out of myself and to wait at your feet for your responses, for your plans, and for your purposes. What are you willing to give in exchange for your soul? I'm willing to give everything. That's essentially what you're saying. When you say, not my will, but your will be done, I'm essentially giving it all. Saying, Lord, I'm willing to give it. I'm giving you everything. My thoughts, my ideas, my grievances, my hurts, my pains. I'm giving them all to you. And he's going to bless your soul. Pray for me. I want to serve God to the best of my ability. Somebody was saying today, you know, it's not yet been, seen what God can do with one who's fully and completely devoted to him. Something to that effect. I just want to be fully devoted to God in everything that I do and say. Pray for me.